Artificial intelligence is the field of computer science focused on creating systems that can perform tasks typically requiring human intelligence. These tasks range from basic actions like recognizing images or understanding speech to more complex problem-solving and decision-making. Essentially, AI seeks to enable machines to think and learn in ways similar to human recognition. Good morning, good afternoon, or evening, wherever you're tuning in from. I am Liliane, but you can call me Lily. Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, where we explore all things leadership, and occasionally we bring incredible guests who are expert in their domains. Today, I am excited to be joined by Anthony Hirz, the CEO and co-founder of Sector Sift. That is a cool startup. It's an AI-powered platform that focuses on streamlining B2B lead generation processes. This is the topic of today, and we're going to dive into the impact of AI on businesses and more particularly on business process and software development. Now, I just unpacked a lot. First, I really want to say thank you so much for joining me, Anthony. How are you today?
Hi, thank you for having me. I am great, and it is an incredible platform, no? AI.
Can you so obviously that, like AI, I wouldn't be myself like a specialist on the topic, so I'm delighted that you're here and that we're going to dive in. But before we do that, I'd love to learn a bit about more about your business. I know it's a new startup. It's pretty cool. So could you maybe tell us a bit about that, how you got started with your business?
Sure. So originally I'm an IT developer. So we build software for the last 10 years with Sedicio, my other company. And basically we wanted to build a solution that helped me with sales. So most of the sales that we'd done was all referral. Living in Ireland for 13 years, most of the customers were Irish customers recommending me to another project and another project. But that changed, especially when it comes to COVID. You know, lockdowns, the world changed and everything started to go online. So what we've done is we became a more online focused company. And then your sales is going to be very different. It's not like you're meeting people for a coffee. You're actually having a lot more Zoom calls, a lot more meetings, LinkedIn, Google search, et cetera, et cetera. So a very different way of approaching companies and finding new customers. So with SectorSift, basically was a solution for me personally, and that turned into a new startup business where that personal approach of reaching out to people, you know, when you have a coffee with somebody in a restaurant or lunch, you get a little bit of to know them, and then you do business. Nowadays, it's basically a LinkedIn post or a LinkedIn reach out and networking that way. So it's very in on personalized. And of course, especially on LinkedIn, you know yourself, you'll get a lot of invites. You get a lot of people asking, hey, you know, can we do business? Or hey, I have a product to sell. So we didn't really like that approach because it's so unpersonalized and it's basically mass spamming in a sense. So I said, we can do this better. So with SectorSift, what we've done is we actually used AI to start researching anybody we want to reach out to first. So instead of just going, okay, this is a person on LinkedIn, this is their job, and this is the company, we wanted to go, what is their company about? What is their website about? And how can I reach out to them in a way that it seems that I actually researched the company in a bit more detail than just spamming and hoping for the best. And in a nutshell, that is what SectorSift does.
I
So
mean,
we
sorry,
go
go
first.
ahead. I'm getting excited.
Yeah. So no, so basically, in a nutshell, we go into a company's website, we research them, or at least the AI does it, And based on inputs on my company or our client's company and our role, our product, our service, etc., we then create a profile of the potential prospect and also of ourselves. And that's what we use then to reach out.
That is actually, so for me, like I working in tech as well, like I worked for a bit less than 20 years. I remember when I was a sales developer manager, I was managing a team of BDRs. And I remember like the amount of times the guys were spending, you know, just like searching the company, etc. So what I'm hearing is that your solution will make, will simplify the job of a BDR.
Yes. It will reduce their time by probably more than 50%. And it actually works both ways, which is pretty neat. So not only can we use, so we use organic search. So you type in, okay, I want to reach, let's say bakeries in Dublin. Mm-hmm. You can type in bakeries as the keyword and our system will find a whole range of relevant keywords to find bakeries in the area. But we can also do it reverse wise. So a lot of sales companies, they might have a, what they call like a lead list. And it says 5,000 companies, 5,000 people are on there. But those lead lists are often outdated. So you can feed the lead list in our system and then it will actually reverse search. So it will still do the whole research, but say, okay, this is the contact person. Now let's research the company. And now let's find the 10 related colleagues of that person. So all of a sudden you are increasing your lead area by tenfold.
So yeah, you enrich the list that you're building and you come across other things.
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty cool. I love the way you were able to pivot, adapt during COVID time and just to suit your own needs to solve your challenges. You just created that business. So how long has your solution been live?
So we did a soft launch at the beginning of October. Basically, a soft launch means everybody can register, they can use the system, but we haven't promoted it yet fully because, of course, it is a complex system. So we slowly want to ramp it up. But yeah, we're live. People can try it out and can test it out. They even have a free tier as well. So if they want to try out the free tier, you know, it's 25 credits. You can run one agent and you can just test out how it works. And then we also have some coupon codes as well. So maybe later I can share a coupon code with you that you can share with your listeners. Because once you get into the system, it's actually really neat. It's really fun to see and discover prospects that you thought never existed. So it's we're really proud of it, what we've done so far.
Of course, we'll be sharing that for sure. Okay, cool. So that's your business. And obviously, it leverages AI. And that's perfect because today we'd love to discuss that topic and see actually how it has empowered businesses. So obviously, it's not your first startup, you know, and you're not new to AI. So I'm just curious, like, how has AI changed the way you approach, for instance, product development and even maybe your business models?
So basically at the moment, everybody in our team uses AI in one way or another. AI, and we're talking now, let's say ChatGPT or the other models are being used on a daily basis by our developers. And it's really has improved our quality significantly. Not only the performance, the output, but also it makes my developers work a lot better because they can rapidly test things out without actually having to deploy and worry about things. They can actually code or do iterations with the GPT models before they actually put any development on the servers or on the platform. So that's one thing that has been awesome. And it's something that I always recommend to anybody who is in a space that can use some automation or has repetitive tasks, start adopting AI. Because if you don't do it yourself, your competitor will be doing it. And for us, it's like, I don't think the team will want to go back. And it's only getting better and better. So it's definitely, this is the first company that fully uses AI for the day-to-day. So not only developers, but also project managers, you know, the SEO guys, myself, I use it for proposals and other things. So it's significant in what it can do. So yeah, it's everything has changed. Everything is the whole system.
So I'm just curious because obviously, as you probably know, I am not somebody who's very technical. So for me, like I use a bit of AI, but very little. But let's say when you mention the kind of, there is an element of being able to scale. So like, because you automate, so I get that. Now you've mentioned quality. You say that quality is better. Would you have, like, how do you kind of measure that quality is better? And when you say quality, what are you referring to particularly?
So when it comes to development, for example, there's a lot of things that people, developers, they don't know everything, right? They know a certain language, a certain way of programming a system, but it might not always be the most efficient way of doing it. So it will work and it will run and it does what needs to be done. But with the AI basically looking over their shoulder and looking at their coding, it will actually make suggestions saying, hey, how about you move this and this around so your code is 20% quicker? Or trying implementing a certain method that is already outdated. Because of course, developers, they will learn a certain technique in school or in university or by themselves. 10 years down the line, those techniques might have changed, but they are still using the older methods unless they are constantly self-educating. And AI helps with that, yeah.
Oh, get you. That's super clear. Now that's super, super, super helpful. Because I think, and that's why we're doing this episode today on AI. Because I think for a lot of people, it's like, it's that thing that does a lot, but really, what's the impact, you know? So thanks for sharing that example. Now, you know what? Talking a bit about sector shift, like, you guys are using AI. And I'm just curious, like, because and as somebody who worked in sales all my life, I understand what your solution, what it does, but I'm just curious because you obviously have many, many competitors in your scope or niche. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you think with the AI, your solution will disrupt the kind of the traditional industry?
Yeah. Good question. So it's definitely something that I've been asked before, because we've been selected for the NDRC, the pre-accelerator program. And that was one of the things going, okay, how can you compete with companies like LinkedIn or the Crunchbase or the Apollos? So the big difference with what we are doing is we use organic search. And organic has a reach that is far bigger than companies like LinkedIn. So LinkedIn, for example, has around 20% of the global companies worldwide are actually on LinkedIn. So 80% are not. Now you're talking about your mom and pop shops, maybe, or you're talking about industries that never actually needed to be online, that, you know, your cement factories or large industrial elements that, you know, don't need an individual representation online. So on LinkedIn, they won't be found. However, on Google, they will be found, especially on Google Places. You know, you type in anything on Google and it will either have a location for it or it will have a website for them. So with that, we can actually reach around 70% of global companies worldwide, whereas the largest database, which is Apollo, can only reach around 17% of companies worldwide. So we have a massive advantage of finding those hidden gems that are not on LinkedIn and are not in big lead databases, but are in Google. And we find them, we index them, we learn about them, and they're really bespoke and specific to whatever our clients need or whatever campaign they put in. So that's, I think, the big difference between the current markets and what we're doing.
Okay, I get that. Now, just allow me to. I'm just very curious, and I don't want this to come across as a challenging question. But okay, that those 80% businesses that are not on on LinkedIn, are they of any value to your? Because who's your ideal customer? Like, who's your ideal customer?
So the way SectorShift is built is basically it's a campaign. So you can be any type of company. You can be a tech company like a web developer or software developer, or you can be like a service company, like a cleaning company or a caterer or a painter.
Okay.
So, and that's the nice thing with what do we need, right? A painter might be able to offer a service to a parking provider. Parking provider might not be on LinkedIn, but they would be on Google Maps, right? A bakery might have starting a catering service, and he wants to reach restaurants or hotels in an area. So we don't have a specific customer per se. Like, it's really designed to be as easy as possible for anybody who wants to reach B2B contacts.
Okay, yeah,
And
and that makes sense actually. So you go beyond, you go wider in terms of the, yeah.
yes. Wider and in multiple languages. So we can support over 50 languages, which is another gap that we're filling, because basically we can create a campaign in English, but we can target companies in France or Netherlands or Germany. And the target is very natural, very fluent, and unique to their specific business model.
Cool. That's yeah, that makes sense. That's definitely interesting. So that's where the value is actually. That's how you differentiate yourself. Cool. The way from your perspective in what has AI driven innovation? Obviously that makes sense. That's actually you've answered my question in a way, I suppose. So that's AI that has allowed you to compete with larger. Actually, no, I wonder. For you, is AI adding is that innovation helping businesses to compete with larger businesses? And how?
Yes, it definitely has. And I'll tell you why. First of all, when you have an idea, you want to test it out. And you can go traditional way is, okay, I have an idea. Do I have the skills to do it myself? Yes or no? Okay, I don't have the skills. I might have to learn the skills or have to hire somebody to do it for me. So I have my initial investment done. Now, what AI has done is it basically gives a skilled person for any skill that I need it for, and I can ask the AI, okay, I want to do a concept. Can you help me with my business plan? Okay, I will help you with the business plan. Can you give me a financial projection? It will make the financial projection. Okay, I actually want to program it. Can you help programming? And it will help you program the solution. So within a day, you can have an MVP, a business plan, and a financial plan done. Whereas traditionally, you'll have to talk to experts, you have to do multiple things, and it will take weeks or months to get to a certain stage, which with AI, you can now do it rapidly. And with the rapid deployment, you can rapidly test and you can rapidly scrap. Because, of course, not all ideas will be great. Probably 90% of ideas will probably go into the bin. But being able to do it on a very quick course, you can quickly go through ideas until you find the right one. And that really is a big difference in allowing AI or allowing small businesses to compete quickly, because they don't have the overheads yet. They don't have the whole traditional way of doing things. So they can quickly come up with an idea, build it, and scrap it if necessary.
Yeah, so basically fail quickly to move on to the next thing if necessary.
Exactly.
And then of course the other question which is kind of aligned with what you just described is when we're thinking about streamlining operations and reducing cost, obviously it makes sense that like would you be able to talk more into that?
Of reducing costs, yeah. Well, I can. The cost of, let's say, a ChatGPT subscription is around 20 euros a month, I think. the value that it brings back is the same of a, you know, medium skilled person in any field. So think about the salaries around that. Right? Instead of hiring somebody, you now have a knowledge base, a person that can do certain things very quickly. On top of that, it's time that is very efficient. So my team now can work very independently on new ideas. And as a result, they do the research themselves using AI. They do little modelings. And then only once they have completely done everything, they propose to the team and say, hey, this could be cool, or this could be nice. So the time save that normally you would come up with an idea, researchers, is another enormous cost saving that we have. Because our team, in terms of what we've built so far, like we built a lot of cool platforms, like for airlines, for medical, insurance companies, car dealership, all very big platforms. But we've built it with a relatively small team. And the reason for that is because of the AI help that we can get.
Cool. Yeah, that makes total sense. Now, obviously, it's always great when we can be as specific as possible. So, like, if I think of like customer service, marketing, or supply chain, where do you think AI has had so far, to your knowledge, the most significant impact?
At the moment, it's going to be the customer service bit, the personal assistant pieces. They are already having a significant impact. And you probably already have noticed it, maybe when booking, let's say, airline tickets, and you'll notice that you have an AI assistant helping you with the customer support requests. In the beginning, they were not very good, but now they're getting so good that basically they can rebook, cancel, all the kind of things that that you would normally need a human person for, the AI will take care of it. Right, so that's one. Then you have your customer support. Basically, over the last 10, 20, 30 years that you have online support, well, let's say last 20 years online support, all of the information, all the data is stored within a system. So we have customers now that have that want AI to take care of their entire customer support level. Meaning you go in and you chat with a robot that comes across human, that can understand every language. And when you give them your account number or you give them the problem, it will actually know what to say and how to resolve it and who to contact in case it cannot resolve. So that's another big thing that is probably going to be the first one on the chopping block when it comes to jobs. But also that's the one that AI is going to easily take over.
Now the one question that I would have, because I see, like, even with Zoom, I just wonder where have I been already in touch with AI when it comes to customer service? I don't know, like, for instance, like Zoom, I had challenges with Zoom and I had the impression it was potentially AI. Well, to me, and that's really my perspective, I didn't like my experience because I wanted to talk to someone. And I had this thing that was just trying to find a solution that it was not finding my solution. I don't know. I just have my doubts, but maybe it's the early days and we're going to see.
It is early days and it will only get better. And of course, there are already voice AIs that basically they will speak as if they're human. You would, you know, if you're trained, if you're in the field, you will recognize them a lot quicker. But there's already calls that are being made by AIs automatically that have a very natural sounding language that will respond to your questions very rapidly. So it's just a matter of time before you won't even recognize it. And it's scary in a sense as well.
Totally.
it is scary, but it's also unavoidable, I guess. We open Pandora's box in that one, and it's just in terms of cost efficiencies, you know, having a server operate 24/7 is a lot cheaper, and companies will go for that direction to offer cheaper services and cheaper products at the end of the day.
No, for sure, for sure. So yeah, let's see where that takes us. And for me, it's in a way I'm exploring the topic with you today, so I'm really curious and open to the idea of learning more. All right. And just on that topic, so thinking of like specific use cases, I think are great to help people understand, where AI automation has really helped startups to scale. Like based on all the things you've explained so far, it's quite clear. I think everybody understands how it has. Like, do you have like examples, concrete use cases that you think where it's like, whoa, it has had a massive impact?
So definitely the prototyping. You now can do demo days where you have an idea and a product within 24 hours or within 8 hours of, let's say, a hackathon. And that would be impossible with traditional single non-technical founders. So that's already one great example. Another project that we're working on is for a company in Australia where they're basically have a it's like an Amazon competitor, and they need their customer service overhauled, and their order systems are two different systems for their accounting and for the books. And implementing our solution basically helped them, sadly enough, get rid of quite a lot of people, but because it was not necessary anymore. Right. It's a plus and it's a con. For the company, they saved a lot of money because there's so many tasks that you do on a daily basis that now an AI can take care of. Even the discovery of large data sets. So we're working with a water provider here, and they actually have a lot of data when it comes to water usage. And for them, what is important is to find out, okay, where are the leaks? And they have leak indicators, but sometimes the leak is not big enough to actually flag the leak indicator. So you need to look at a large data set. And the nice thing with AI is you feed it in and say, listen, give me the top 10 anomalies in this data set. And within a second, you have the top 10 anomalies for further research. Getting somebody to do it, like say somebody who knows Power BI or analytics, is expensive. And then takes more than a couple of seconds to figure out all those outliers. So things like that are clear, direct benefits of implementation of AI.
Now that makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, AI is wonderful, and it seems like the benefits and the potential seems to be limitless. However, I am sure we are early days, so businesses, what it is like, to actually integrate AI, and that's, I think, what a lot of businesses are asking themselves, like, okay, how are we going to do this? How do you start? To your knowledge, what are the biggest challenges, especially startups, would face when integrating AI?
Yeah. So there are two ways of integrating AI. One is using a third-party service, so something like OpenAI or Gemini or there's tons of other ones. And then you have your internal AI, and that's something that a lot of bigger companies would like to do, where basically you take your internal data and you create your own AI internally around your data, so you're not dependent on a third party. And you can actually feed your information and create, copies of your workforce through an AI system. So those are the two options. Well, option one is always the best one because it's cheap. Like for getting access to an AI model, can be normally it's bundled. So for example, with Google or Microsoft, they're already bundling AI into their business suites, like the Office 365 and the Google Drive stuff. But also using OpenAI APIs or other API services, you pay like literally cents. We're not talking even about euros or dollars. It's literally cents a day if you do it efficiently. So it's very cheap, and that's good. The only challenge is adoption. When it comes to startups, they're normally a lot better because, of course, they start from ground zero. They don't have all the processes in place yet, and sometimes the too many walls, not enough bridges, right? So this is very difficult to get things across with the bigger companies. Startups don't really have that, so they can rapidly implement, test out, and cancel and subscribe to something else if they don't like it. Bigger organizations, they all have to go through a process of procurement. They have to then have it validated. You have your data protection. And of course, also, the AI is not perfect, right? It can make mistakes. Who's going to take care of the mistake? Is it going to be the AI company providing the service, or is it the company? So there is a lot of little things that can come up with integration. What I would recommend is start with one problem and see if how AI can fix that, and then make that fixable, and then build it up, grow it out. Don't go, okay, we're now going AI for everything, because that's going to guarantee fail. You need to go, okay, what's the problem that AI can solve efficiently?
Actually, a follow-up question that I would have based on what you said, and that's probably my interpretation. So I'd love to know what you think. So you said like two options, right? They could leverage existing solutions, especially for startup. Now, you've mentioned the second option, which is way more expensive. Now, I'm very curious because recently, actually, I was talking to somebody in my network who's started a company and he's leveraging it, but he said he create his own. Now, I haven't dig deeper into the conversation, because that was not the main topic of our conversation. I'm curious, what's the cost of just to have a range, like, or for like a business, what would be the entry point to be like, okay, I'm going to create my own AI system? So that's one question. Number two would be, based on what you said, which makes a lot of sense, would that mean that typically bigger organizations, like enterprise size type of businesses, would tend to go more about creating their own AI system? So these are my two questions.
So basically, it's all about the training of the model, right? So the training of the model, that takes a lot of compute power, so GPU power, and that's where the big costs come in. That's why NVIDIA is doing very well on the stock market, because they provide the compute power for companies like Google or OpenAI or Facebook to train a model. Now, that model training, you know, you can start it off from basically one PC with a beefy graphics card, but it will take years and years to actually get something useful out of it. So you need to scale it up. If you can scale it up times a thousand of those beefy machines, then you have a nice little system that can be run in an enterprise environment, and then you can train it. So the question is, why would you want to train? What do you need to train the model on? All the systems that are open source, for example, Facebook has their open source model. You can take that model. And that's a model, that's an AI model that is trained on general knowledge. It can do programming, it can do marketing context, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not trained on your internal knowledge. It's not trained on your business knowledge. So let's say your knowledge bases, or your emails, or your instant messages, your customer support database, your product database. So what you can do is, okay, I have this base model that Facebook already invested a couple billion dollars in. I want to take that model, and now I want to train it up with my information, so that now I have an AI that is tailored to our company, and I ask it questions that are very specific to the company. It will know it. It will know how to answer it, and it know where to find the information. So that's basically the model approach. You can do it from scratch, meaning you buy a bunch of servers, you spend probably over 100,000 euro to get a nice training set going, and then after it's trained, you now have a model that you can talk to and use in your system. Or you can do it by getting an open source model like the ones from Facebook, and then feed it in information from your business, and that, you know, is a lot lower cost.
So one would suspect that you guys with your business have gone with the first option.
So we actually use OpenAI,
Okay.
and we then use Google APIs for our own learnings. So OpenAI is really for the validation of the raw data. And then we have our own algorithms that actually do the searching and the scraping and the indexing of the customer data. So it's a combination of two. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for being transparent about it. Okay, so any advice you would give any startup who wants to leverage AI, but they probably don't have the resources or technical expertise, what would you tell them?
So there's a lot of companies that are actually offering startup credits. So Microsoft has their startup program, and that it comes with OpenAI credits as well. It's around 2,000 euro, I think, worth of OpenAI credits. So that's a good starting point. If you have an idea, you can register on Microsoft Startups. And in Ireland specifically, there are a couple of good programs. So the NDRC that I mentioned before. They have different programs. So they have the pre-accelerator and their accelerator program. And that one is really cool as well because it comes with a lot of perks. So you come with Amazon credits, Microsoft credits, Google credits, and also a couple of AI tools that are providing free trial accounts or free licenses. So that's probably the best way. And of course, a lot of open AI models or a lot of AI models are free. So you can just register for free and you can try them out for a limited run. It might not be the advanced model, the most advanced model, but you can do it. And lastly, if you wanted to, even on your mobile phone, there are now apps that you can run your own local AI system on. If your phone is strong enough, you can actually download a language model, download it to your phone, and you can run an ChatGPT basically on your phone. In flight mode without the use of internet or anything else. So there's a lot of free options out there because, of course, there is a there's a big push for it.
Yeah, totally. Now, obviously, that's all nice and that's all well, but obviously, in Europe, we think a lot about the some of the challenges, like with the, it's a regulatory environment around AI, and as the technology is ramping, obviously, the EU is working on regulations. Governments are beginning to address who is liable when AI system causes harm. I think the European Commission has proposed that AI developers, manufacturers, and users should bear responsibility depending on their roles. Like, there are a lot of things going on, and obviously there are different type of impacts on different type of industries as well. If we think about the maybe healthcare, for instance, things like that, and then based on where you are, like in China, like there is definitely a lot of complexity if you're in the US as well. You can think of the federal agencies, like how should a startup in all that complexity, manage to stay compliant and kind of ahead of all those emerging legal issues? Because that's for sure, it's all exciting, but there's a lot of complexity. So what is your perspective on that? And I know it's a tricky question. Nobody has all the answers, but what's your take on that?
So, first of all, one take that might be a little bit off kilter, but the European Union and their regulations are kind of hurting Europe in terms of a growing economy, because you will see with the US and also with China and Russia as well, is like they're pumping a lot of money in AI. They're saying they're regulating it, they're not really regulating it, which is there's a lot of good things what the EU is doing, a lot of bad things when it comes to economic growth and also growing as a leader in a technology field. So that's kind of a problem that is only going to get worse because the US is not going to stop, and neither is Russia or China going to stop doing what they're doing when it comes to the AI growth and the data mining, et cetera, et cetera. It's impossible. They won't stop. The EU will stop or put in regulations, but it's kind of, we're going to then end up depending on a source for data. So we're going to be dependent on the US or China or Russia for our AI fixes, in a sense, right? So that's one take. But in order to stay compliant, so what we do is we basically use third-party services for SectorShift. So Google has their own compliance, so we use Google APIs to get the data from websites, and then we use OpenAI models to get the interpretation of the data. So from our perspective, we are nicely in the middle of, okay, we don't actually pull this data out ourselves, right? We use other third-party services that already have all those compliance regulations signed and sealed. But still, when it comes to AI, it's a gray area. It's extremely gray, and there's being emergency laws putting in place, but they might not, benefit the company or the commission itself as well. So it's still gray. What I would say is just go for it and say sorry later.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's more like wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, wait and see for the regulations, but don't stop your business
No,
to wait.
go ahead. Yeah. All
Exactly.
right. So one thing is sure for startup, obviously, it's always important to think about skills and roles, right? In this new kind of like there's those new days are coming, like with AI. So what do you think are the skills and maybe the roles startups needs to start thinking about?
So when it comes to AI, it really depends if you're going to be an AI company, like your focus is just going to be AI, as in I'm going to develop a new AI. Then, of course, you need data scientists, professors in machine learning, that kind of stuff. But 99% of the startups will not be AI startups. They will be AI powered startups, meaning they use AI as part of their business. In that case, you need just good developers, smart developers that understand Python language or the modern programming languages, and somebody who understands prompting. And prompting is basically the way of how to talk to an AI machine and get the most or the best results out of it. It's same like Googling. You have people that know how to Google, you have people that don't know how to Google. And that's a skill that some people are much better in using Google. And some people are much better in using AI and prompting and understanding how to talk to a machine on a one-to-one level.
That's interesting,
So I think.
actually. I was watching a video on YouTube about a guy who was actually talking about prompting, and he was saying that depending is that what it is? Depending on how you ask the questions, you end up getting a lot from AI. Is that what it's about?
So basically, you can talk to an AI and say, draw me a house, then it will draw you a house. But if you say, okay, draw me a schematic of a house and use inches or centimeters, and I need to have it in a 3D perspective, and I'm going to use this material and that material, it will draw you a whole building plan. So in the same prompt, you can go for draw me a house or give them a lot of details. The more details you give, the more accurate the response will be. And that's where prompt engineering comes in very useful.
Okay, now that makes sense. Now this is the same. I'm just curious to see what is your take on the future trends or advancement in AI we can expect maybe in the next 5, 10 years. Where do you see all of that going?
Okay, so definitely in the next 5 years, I think the customer service bits, as in the chatting with people or even talking with people, is going to be taken care of by AI for 90% of the time. And I'm talking about the large organizations that are already rolling it out. Right, you pick up the phone, you'll think you're talking to somebody, but you're actually talking to an AI system first, and they will understand what you're saying, and they will sound very human-like. So that's one thing to be ready for. Another thing I believe is definitely the way content is being generated. So you might have noticed already on YouTube, there's a whole business model behind those YouTube shorts and TikTok shorts that are basically all AI generated. So the way it works, they take footage, or they go for, okay, give me 100 quotes, and then they take footage of, let's say, a waterfall or something else, and they splice together. Then they get an AI voiceover reading out the quote that sounds completely human and completely natural, and that's the stuff that's now being pumped out on the internet. You know, millions of videos a day, basically, right? All for the YouTube revenue and the likes, exposure, etc. So that's where we are now. In 5 years, I wouldn't be surprised that we are watching, you know, our first AI video movies. You know, 90% AI generated content, and just the editor is there, and the actors are AI, etc. So that's the two big things that I think will be the ones that are noticeable the most.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, if it's that exciting or not. I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you don't, if you're not sure which one is what, right? That's the question. Like, there are already some amazing examples of AI videos and AI conversations and calls that you wouldn't know that it's AI unless somebody told you. Like, it's that accurate already.
Yeah, but imagine, I mean, it's like having two people doing a podcast, and So if you're not if this is the computer having a conversation, imagine you and I today, we're not talking, we're having it's just AI. I'd say people would be disappointed that they did not hear the co-founder of Sector Sift, but just his AI version. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
You and I'm assuming you've seen deep fakes already. The deep fake. So the same with audio, right? So we can feed AI a video of somebody. Let's say we give them the AI this video of the podcast, or this audio file of the podcast. Then this is should be enough for the AI to actually replicate my voice and your voice, and make us say anything that the AI wants us to say. So it is getting to that scary point, right?
At this point, for me, that is scary. Like I'm all about the progress and leveraging all the benefits, because there are so many benefits. You've already you've outlined, you've listed, but I don't know. This can go really, really far. So.
Yes. I think the next presidential elections will be interesting. Not the ones that are happening now, but I think the ones years from now in the US. I think that's going to be a very interesting minefield to watch when it comes to AI, deepfakes, and all the, you know, the voice cloning technology that they have now.
Yeah, now that could be a nightmare, actually. All
Yep.
right. Okay. Obviously, we love stories. We love examples. Now that I feel like we've discussed AI a bit in all the possible ways, at least for the sake of this podcast. Do you have what are your best examples of like success stories for startup that you're aware of that have been successful at integrating AI and that have seen already transformative results?
Okay, so I'll give two other examples of implementations we've done. One is for a reputation management platform. So they get in, you know how Google reviews and Facebook reviews and TripAdvisor, Airbnb, they have so much impact now of a customer's purchase journey. You know, if they see bad reviews, I'm not gonna eat in their restaurant. So, and for hotel owners or restaurant owners, that's something that is very frustrating for them because they just want to cook or they just want to service. And of course, part of the service is make sure that everybody's happy. But the amount of time or effort that they can put in there, because it's not their skill set, is always limited, and you end up with those bad responses, or it escalates, something like that. So the system that we've built for that client, it's already multiple years old, but we integrated AI with it now. So their customers can now see the reviews coming in, and the AI can actually already provide a suggested review back, which is professional. It's on point, on context of what the reviewer is leaving behind, And all of a sudden, their engagement levels go up quite a lot. And that gives a boost for their profile, but also their SEO. From a Google search perspective, if you are an active business engaging with Google customers, in a sense,
yeah.
And that has a boost for SEO. So that was it was a relatively simple integration, but it was a very quick win.
So I'm just curious. Okay, so the AI will suggest a response, but it's the human that still has to come and just validate that response, right?
Yes. There's still the AI fills in the reply field in our system, and then they can press submit or they can remove it. Technically, there's no barriers of us doing it automatically, but of course, since it's still AI and it's still the AI basically feeds all the information giving in. So if I leave a very strange review with very strange wording and stuff in there, the AI might respond back with a very strange response. Right. So
Yeah.
There's always that little fail safe that we put in there.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool to understand that, because I actually love that example, because it shows like how it can massively have an impact on businesses, but at the same time, why we still have to hold back just a bit, because that's a great example. Do you have any other example maybe that you would add to this one? I love this one, by the way.
Yeah, so there's another example of a medical company that we're working with, and basically they get a lot of medical data. And we get data from individual monitors. So you have, for example, glucose, and you have blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So using AI, so there are some nice Google models that are actually working with medical data. So it's like, I can't come up with a name, but I can share it after. Basically, it's like a doctor, an AI doctor, and you can feed it in certain information, and that will provide a prognosis or a assessment of the patient. And that can be done fully with AI. So then basically we get all the data in, and then there is a little prognosis screen saying, okay, based on this information, the AI doctor thinks this is the right way forward. Of course, we don't give out the orders, but it's nice to get nurses and doctors to see that and go, yeah, that makes sense, or maybe that doesn't make sense. So from a medical perspective, it is really interesting that how the AI is making those types of decisions or suggestions. And then you still need the human interaction to say, yes, that's correct. Or maybe that, you know, that doesn't make any sense. So that's really cool.
Yeah, no, that's a wonderful example. Well, first I want to say, Anthony, thanks, because I feel like I understand AI better, genuinely, seriously, after our conversation. It's been great. Okay, what would you like our listeners to take away from today's conversation? I know personally I've taken a lot. Like I feel like I'm smarter now. I understand more what AI is in theory and in its all different possible applications. But what would you like? What's the thing you'd want people to remember from our conversation today?
From a business perspective, I would say use it. If you don't use it, your competitors will use it. And it doesn't matter how scary it might look, or it's not going away. This is something that has been created, and it will. The early adopters will definitely see the benefit of AI. The ones that don't adopt and are late will probably end up losing business because of it. Like, it is here to stay. So from a personal perspective, so from a you and me without the business sense, be wary. Not everything that you see online is real. A lot of things can be AI generated. So common sense is still very well needed. But don't be afraid of it either. Like, it's you know, we have to move forward with the times. And I think AI can make some very beautiful times happen.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. But thanks so much for your wise words. And so as we come to a close of today's episode, I really hope like you guys have enjoyed our conversation today. Really want to thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much for your time, your patience. And I think you're a good teacher because you've been able to break down something that can appear a bit like theoretical sometimes. So thanks for that. I really want our listeners to, you're the co-founder of Sector Sift, so guys, go out and check out Sector Sift. I think you guys have a fresh presentation or demo that I've seen. So we'll be sharing that. Anything you want to add about your business that maybe like
Yeah, well,
I
if any of your listeners want to try it out, we can do a coupon code as well, so you can try it out, so you get like 50 extra credits. So yeah, let me set it up. Let's use Lily 50. Is that okay? As a
Yeah,
coupon code.
sure, definitely.
Cool. So they can try it out for free, because it is really cool if you are looking to find businesses. Test it out. You'll be surprised how well the results are, and they're really tailored to whatever your business case is. So that would be great if we can get more people to test it out. It would be beautiful.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Really appreciate you.
You're welcome.
So guys, if you found the episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and share it with your network. I'm Liliane, but call me Lily, and I'll see you next time where we'll explore another probably essential leadership topic, or maybe we'll have a wonderful guest just like Anthony. So until then, have a wonderful day and stay inspired and stay tuned for our next episode.